Okay, so tell me a little bit about, you know, why you're holding this this conference next year over in East Peoria.
And the Center for Prevention of Abuse decided over a year ago that we needed to take a leadership role when it came to human trafficking, both from serving survivors, but also from the standpoint of educating the public. And that has gone so well. We have been very successful in the work that our Department of Human Trafficking Services has done so far, that this is a natural progression. This is the next step in educating folks about what is human trafficking, what are the indicators, what do we do about it, but also bringing people who are deeply invested in the human trafficking issues and working to fight it every day, and bringing them to Central Illinois to educate people as well.
So can you tell me a little bit about the speakers? You've got several here coming from across the country. Who are they, and why did you select them, or why did you ask them to come?
Yeah, so we have a fantastic lineup of experts on the trafficking issue. One of our keynote speakers is Bradley Miles. He's the CEO of Polaris. And many people aren't familiar with Polaris if they're not in the anti-trafficking work. Polaris is the national think tank for trafficking work. They're based out of Washington, D.C., and they also operate the National Human Trafficking Hotline. So we're excited to have Bradley. We also have a survivor of sex trafficking. Her name is Lockie Mazanov, and she is an advocate, a survivor, and an author who hopefully will be able to share with our audience a little bit about her experiences as a child of sex trafficking and how she's overcome that trauma. So we're very excited to have them.
So who do you hope attends this? Is it for people in your field? Is it for the general public? Is it for elected officials? Is it to educate everybody more about the issue of human trafficking?
It's for all the above. We hope that we have people who know very little, and we want people that know quite a bit. We want to bring together a diverse audience that are going to bring best practices, that are going to have innovative techniques that they can share with others. It's just really going to be an opportunity to have the best of the best, but also people that are new to the topic that really want to work to make the community better. You know, when we work together on issues like this and there's room for everybody at the table, it helps make safer neighborhoods and safer communities and safer states and safer regions and just so on. It's very simplistic that way, but we all have to work together, because not only is this an issue that can be answered through law enforcement and working to help people into recovery, but there's a demand issue. If there is no demand for human trafficking, then it stops. So how do we educate the community on the outcome of utilizing illicit massage facilities and participating in, you know, sex trafficking, which is a crime, labor trafficking, and we see it every day in the clothes we wear and the food we eat, and it's just really helping enlighten the community on what they need to know. It's why we're calling the conference Light 2020. We want to shine a light on the topic of human trafficking and also make sure that people know that there's a light at the end of the tunnel if they're willing to participate.
So, I mean, what do you hope people take away from this then? That they come through this with a better understanding of what human trafficking is, that it's happening in our area, and, you know, what kind of signs they could potentially see and what to do about it if they do see those signs?
Yeah, so the day before the conference starts, so March 31st, we're offering a free general education training to the public. So we're offering that to anyone who wants to learn more about this issue. And we hope that those folks walk away with an understanding about what human trafficking is, because there are oftentimes a lot of misconceptions that surround this crime. as well as an understanding of where this type of crime might be being facilitated within our local community. The number one reports to the National Human Trafficking Hotline are reports from concerned community members. So citizens like you and I who have seen something suspicious and they did something about it to report it. And then for those that come to our two-day professional training, we really want to provide them with a variety of topics. We've got a lot of great speakers from a diverse background who will be facilitating multiple breakout sessions. So, you know, we're expecting individuals from law enforcement, the medical community, social workers, those in prosecution and criminal justice to be part of this conference. And we will have something for everyone. And we want them to take away more information and knowledge, as well as networking throughout the community to make sure that they know what partners are available to support them in their work and their roles.
Absolutely. So this requires a major coordinated effort between law enforcement, between, you know, what you do here, between healthcare. I mean, how does that relationship work? I mean, how do you get all those gears moving in motion together, so to speak?
Yeah, we've got excellent relationships with key stakeholders throughout Illinois and the nation for that matter. We realized when we made the commitment to provide services to this population in January of 2018 that it wasn't enough for us to just provide specialized, comprehensive services to survivors. We knew that we had to make a commitment to being the convener of the conversation for all of those disciplines. And from our experiences the last year and a half, we've come to the realization that our local community cares about this issue and that they want to get information on it. So we have great relationships with law enforcement, medical providers, school systems. Everybody has a role within this crime.
So I guess one thing I would wonder, I mean, what we've discussed this before, what's the extent of this here in Central Illinois? I know it's here, and I know it's something that people may not be, you know, entirely aware of all the time. What can you tell me a little bit more about human trafficking specifically here in Central Illinois?
Sure. I think that Sarah and I can both respond to this question, that we have spent a considerable amount of time taking great care of the survivors who have come to us. And since we opened the Department of Human Trafficking Services at the center in January of 2018, we've cared for just over 50 survivors. And people, when they hear that, generally think that these are people that have come from another country. They've been brought here illegally, and that most certainly is not the case. Much is the same as the national trend. About 82% of everyone that we served is actually from right here in Central Illinois. Being trafficked by perhaps somebody they know, love, and trust. And it's a tragic situation, but we are so very proud to provide this leadership role and have since been named the lead human service organization for human trafficking by the Illinois State Police. And we cover 46 counties, which makes up the Central District of the U.S. Attorney.
So you go all the way basically from Springfield, Champaign, Bloomington here, just
correct,
the whole central region of the state, basically.
Yes, yes. And it's a daunting task. I often say we want to stay ahead of the snowball because when we opened this department, I anticipated that it would be something that we would ease into, but it is so needed. It is such a heinous crime that we saw it take off right away. Our department has grown considerably since we started. We anticipate that we will continue to have good growth in that department in the coming years, but it's needed. It's not growth for the sake of growth. It's growth with purpose, and we see a very positive outcome. And if we can help remove human trafficking from, you know, the country, Illinois, from Peoria. It happens everywhere. Peoria is not unique, but what is unique is that the Center for Prevention of Abuse is working very hard to do something about it. And we're going to continue to do that.
Could we talk a little bit about when a survivor from one of these situations comes to you, like comes through the door, just brand new here? I mean, what's the process for helping them to, you know, I don't know if reintegrate's the right word, mm-hmm. but to recover from this, I guess.
Well, I would say that survivors are met with non-judgmental support and care. We have highly trained counselors, advocates, case managers, therapists who work with them on developing safety strategies. So that's probably the first thing that we do is we work with them on assessing their current level of risk and then develop some specific individualized safety strategies to help keep themselves safe because this is a very dangerous crime. And then secondly, we would do a comprehensive service plan. So we're working with the client in a very victim-centered, client-centered way to help them identify some of their short and long-term goals. And then we're able to provide those or else hook them up with resources that can potentially help them. So many of our clients need safe emergency housing. And we at the Center for Prevention of Abuse are really fortunate that we have two emergency shelters that we operate that can provide that level of safe refuge. Some of them may need longer-term supportive housing, and so we have a long-term permanent housing program here at our organization. But if that's not something that they're looking for, we also can assist with some financial assistance in an apartment or a home of their own. One of the things that we strive to do within our organization is make sure that when an individual has made the decision to remove themselves from whatever type of abusive relationship or situation, that we're able to provide them with the necessary tools and resources for them to live self-sufficiently on their own. So really to give them some support while they make that journey. All of our services also are 100% free and confidential for victims of crime. So individuals who need this type of support and this type of help can feel free to reach out to us for help and know that they're going to get quality, supportive services that don't cost anything.
So a little bit further along the process, when they've gone through and they've received services, I mean, when basically they've found a better arrangement, maybe a more permanent housing arrangement, maybe a job to help support themselves. I mean, do you follow up with them? Do you check in with them regularly on their progress, mm-hmm. or is it more like a come back and visit as needed, or how does that work longer term?
Well, our services are open to them indefinitely, and many of our clients take advantage of that. Leaving such a traumatic experience is a process. It's a journey. It's not something that is quickly resolved. While we may be able to take care of some of those immediate needs, emergency shelter, clothing, medical care, some of those longer-term issues that can be assisted with therapy, consistent therapy, oftentimes our clients continue that for several months, even years.
Anything else either of you would like to add about human trafficking or about the conference in 2020 that we haven't touched upon yet?
I think it's the idea that the Center for Prevention of Abuse is fully committed to this issue, to this heinous crime, to making sure that we do everything that we can to serve people that have been victimized and exploited, but also doing what we can to help eradicate it. I think we can find comfort in that. The conference itself is something that is going to be hopefully an event that we can replicate year after year and continue to elevate the education level as we go. We're starting off with a bang. The fact that we've got these premier keynote speakers and then a wide variety of breakout sessions that will hopefully make a difference to anyone that's interested, but especially to the first responder community, law enforcement, healthcare, the educational community. We offer a curriculum through our prevention education department that for us, it's the first of its kind. that helps local high school students understand what human trafficking is, especially if they're approached, because they are some of our most vulnerable that can be pulled into that type of work. So I think that the conference itself is something that is going to be celebrated, and it's going to be well attended. And we hope that people go to the Center for Prevention of Abuse website at centerforpreventionofabuse.org and check the conference and all the details, and hopefully sign up with us.
Fantastic. All righty. Well, thank you so much,
yeah.
Both of you.
Thank you.